Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with the lovely Paul Andrews and myself, Jules. We have in the studio Chinwe Uday, a paediatric consultant that's just been telling us about the websites that you can look at, the Young Epilepsy UK for support, and also Adele Martin, who's on the Twitter at @coach_executive. You can find her there.
Right. That's better, I think.
Yeah, just no background noise.
Yeah,
okay. Sounds great.
We have a little MedTech company that have written to us, the Business Bunker. It's MedTech, Bedfont, and they've received the highest accolade for their workplace initiatives. Well done, guys. Kent County Council, and they've presented Bedfont with the highest award possible for promoting a positive work environment, a healthy work-life balance, and showing its commitment to reducing its carbon footprint. After joining the Healthy Workplace Programme last year, in October, Bedfont announced it had received 3 awards for their efforts to create a positive workplace environment. Now, in just under 6 months, Bedfont has excelled in building new initiatives and putting the well-being of employees at the forefront of the business, resulting in being rewarded with the platinum status. The programme is funded by the KCC, Medway Council, and helps to support health and well-being at work with relevant policies, training and guidance. Recent studies have shown that those with a healthy work-life balance have more motivation and are more productive at work. So congratulations, the MedTech company Bedfont. Well done, guys.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from Chips and Dinks.
Oh.
They say, have a great show. We're travelling back today. I think they've been away for the bank holiday. So we'll catch up later on the catch-up service. The internet here is dire. It's pretty bad here as well, to be honest. So I can't even send a funny gif, she says. That's Bev from Chips and Dinks. Dan Nevitt of... Dedicate Recruitment has said, we're delighted to support the event at Y School tomorrow, a great initiative to provide careers guidance to the student group. Yeah, thank you, Dan. Dan and Liz are coming tomorrow. So that's me, Adele, Dan and Liz at least. Yeah, no, there are quite a few of us going tomorrow. But if you want to come along, do please join us. It's 11 o'clock, 2 hours, you get refreshments. I've been promised custard creams and pastries. Which can't be bad. And it's at the Y School, which is between Canterbury and Ashford. Come along, 11 o'clock. We'd love to see you there. Life in Cash has tweeted, 3 easy steps to help you give peace of mind. Save the stress of tomorrow by getting yourself organised today.
Sounds like a good one.
Sounds interesting. You need to find out what that's about. Private online storage services, helping you get organised and make the most of every day. Life in Cash, CACHE LTD, is their Twitter handle. Phil Wilson, who I talked about earlier, who's drumming for T-Rexstacy tomorrow at the Hazlitt Theatre, has said he's really enjoying the show. So that's cool as well, isn't it? What else have we got here? Kim Stevens of Caring Kent. She said, I'd love a shout out on today's Business Bunker, please, Paul. Do you or your loved ones need care at home? I need care at home. I do. I need care here.
But you've got Jules and you don't need care.
No, that's why I need care. I need help.
Just had a 3-day break.
Yeah, yeah. What are you ready to get help? Give us a call on 01233 619 530 if you'd like to consider a career in social and healthcare.
Well, I think there's more and more need, really. With
it's huge need. I mean,
elderly people, and
my mum's 94. She's got early onset dementia. We have a carer. I go over every day apart from Tuesdays. My sister goes over on Saturdays. We have a carer 3 times a day. We try to get a full-time living carer. Can't doing it. We only have 3 times a day because that's all they can provide. Because I can't get the people. It's difficult.
I met some when I was coming back from Dubai. I met some on the plane. Was I coming back from Dubai? Anyway, I was coming back from somewhere. And I met these lovely people from Zimbabwe, young guys, lady and a man. And we've stayed friends with them. And they were trained in Zimbabwe, but they were being brought to a care home up north somewhere. I can't remember where. And I was giving them some advice. So I said, you know, we're giving them support. We gave them our number because they're coming to a strange country, young, you know, 20s to very young. My husband played chess with the guy. I can't remember his name, but we've kept that on WhatsApp. But the first thing I said to them was, A, get a thermal vest, go to Marks and Spencer because it was freezing. This was February, you know, the big culture shock with the weather. So I told them about getting a thermal vest and then to get some vitamin D supplements because, of course, their skin is black and we're in like the greyest country ever, you know, get so much rain. But they're doing okay. They're doing really well. But we're not finding people locally to do care. We need to bring in people from Zimbabwe.
Yeah, but it's... there's all kinds of issues, isn't it? I mean, it's as you said, there's a huge demand, and the demand is growing as the population ages. Mm. People are living longer, but they're living longer with problems. Yeah, you know, because although dementia isn't particularly age dependent, older people do get age-related memory loss, which can move into that. But because, you know, people like my mum, 94, and to all intents and purposes, she's healthier than I am, yeah?
But she shouldn't really be on her own with all, you know, it's hard for her, isn't it, with her medication and that. So ideally would be to have someone living in.
Yeah, but
you can't find
Yeah, well, you can't have one person living, you have to have two.
Yeah.
And it's just impossible to find one, let alone two. Mm. Man of Kent has tweeted, the Business Bunker Show is fantastic today, essential listening. So thank you for that, Man of Kent.
Yeah. And Wayne Cunnington is an avid listener. He says, I lost you guys for about 10 minutes when Paul went to press the button for the news, and that was that. So he's obviously got us back now. So that was from the news. That's odd, isn't it?
Don't know what happened there.
No, we don't know.
The problem is it all depends how you're listening at the other end. I mean, it could be the other end that loses it as much as...
Yeah, sometimes in Tesco's...
You don't want to listen to it in Tesco's, yeah. Because he sit on the meat counter. Tracy Ferguson tweeted, have a great Business Bunker Show today, Paula, Jules and guests. I'm out today, so I'll listen on catch up later. Thank goodness for the catch-up service, which can be accessed any time. So thank you, Tracy.
I love the catch-up service, so I find it much easier to listen. Mm. Seven Oaks Chamber, they've got hoping that we can join them on the 10th of May for the next in-person meeting. What's the date today? I have no idea. 8th, I think, isn't it?
Today's the 9th. The 10th is tomorrow. It's manana.
So it's manana. Okay, yeah. So this is in Swanley. Focus Businesses to be held at We Are Beams. The team...
Did you say that? She assaulted me. Just because she's got me this side of the desk, yeah, she can get her hands on me, and that's not a good thing, is it?
The team... Where's your HR? The teams will talk about fundraising activities and events, and they'll get to see their brand new garden, the We Are Beams team. This is lovely. Mm-hmm. Following 2 years of fundraising, the new garden for disabled children and their families is now open with help from the community, businesses and grants. They've been able to transform the once run down and shabby garden into a completely inclusive environment. Entry is free for chamber members and guests can join us for £15. So that's Seven Oaks Chamber, 10th of May, manana. We Are Beams.
And Michael Part Surveyors has been on again.
Oh.
And they say, thank you for that lovely shout out, Vanilla Webb. That's me, Vanilla Webb. Mm-hmm. And Jules Serkin, we're loving the show. Just tuned in to our favourite show of the week.
And Wayne...
I thought you were listening to us.
Wayne says, actually, I thought it was the button. I'm in the garden at the moment and some grey clouds are coming over. Oh. He's got a lovely garden, Wayne.
Has he?
Yeah. I'm loving our garden at the moment because spring is just, you know, we planted a couple of trees.
Spring.
We've only got a small urban garden, but we planted two apples and a cherry and they're all in blossom.
Ooh, nice.
And then we bought a silver birch because our neighbour next door chopped a tree down and we lost all our birdsong. So we've put one right on the boundary where their tree was on the boundary. So we're getting our birdsong back.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I love our garden.
Steph in South Africa. Why do we all say South Africa as soon as I say South Africa? Steph in South Africa said, I charge devices whenever I can and work
on Paul. She's answering. So I was asking how she managed with the blackouts. You have to explain to the listener because
they were listening, weren't they?
You can't just start reading.
I'm just telling you.
You've got to tell them why. Go on, then read it.
It's like working with your mum, isn't it?
We're not getting in between this.
No. You're not taking sides.
Totally staying out.
I need support here, Jim. No. I need support.
You're on your own, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Are you wearing a vest today?
What, a vest? What kind of vest?
No, I'm like
she's like his, she's on my mum. Yeah. Yeah. Have you got clean underwear on? Are you wearing a vest? Have you got a hanky? Yeah. Anyway.
You can read it now.
In response to what Jules said an hour ago, Steph has tweeted, I charge devices whenever I can and work whenever there's electricity. I get up whenever load shedding starts during the night to unplug devices to avoid... Yeah. The surge charge damaging them. Unfortunately, food goes off really quickly, and she says tired is an understatement. We feel for you, it's Steph. So we really sad. Do. It's the, terrible.
It's the most beautiful country I've ever visited. I love South Africa. We go a lot, and it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be coming here soon.
I look forward to it.
No, you don't.
You're a little ray of sunshine, you. What else was I reading? Have I read that?
I don't know. I do not know.
Are you a business based in the Canterbury or East Kent area?
Mm-hmm.
This includes Whitstable, Herne Bay, Margate, Ramsgate and Broadstairs. Why not enter the Canterbury Business Awards of this year? All the categories and entry details are on here. Close 19th of May. Go to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/category-business-events.
Fantastic. Do you know what?
We're going to talk to Adele.
I want to talk to Adele.
I do. Yeah. She was just running down looking for a protein snack a minute ago. They were both running down, jogging, jogging down the corridor they were looking for a protein snack. I've said I've got a lamb coming, but you know, it needs to be cooked.
Okie doke. Adele, it's lovely to see you. Hello. I don't know, I'm not sure where to start with you on this because you've been up to, Adele had a show on this very radio station for a little while. She's also the co-host quite often of the Women in Business show.
She is.
Yeah. She's a businesswoman herself. She's also a coach helping, you're going to explain all this properly, I'm just waffling at the moment. But you also win loads of things.
Yeah.
But they're kind of different things as well. You win bodybuilding contests and business contests.
Yeah, absolutely.
You win everything you go in for, really, don't you?
Strong body, strong business.
So why don't we start somewhere sensible, I don't know where that will be, and give us an overview of Adele. You used to run a pub as well, didn't you? Yeah.
I've been doing that as well, it's nearly 10 years. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, gosh, where do I start? So, do you know what? I was always different, strong, and everything I did. So, we've had this discussion, Paul. I entered a finance world in 1988 where it was really difficult. And spooky, the more we chatted, we had sort of similar career. So, I went into finance as a young girl, and it was tough, really, really tough. But I took on every single challenge, worked my way up, did masters, did my MBA, did everything. Absolutely nailed it. And then just at the last point, got my master's. I got my dream job, my absolute dream job, 2 months before the financial crisis. And you think, yeah, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take my team. I'm really strong. I had teams in the Philippines, teams in Bangalore. Just did it. Yeah, don't get me wrong. It was really, really stressful.
But what was your dream job?
It was leading the operations team to do the merger with the other banks. So it was a big merger and I had to lead a team. In the end, it was about nearly 3,000 people. It's massive.
Yeah. High stress.
High stress, you know, but there was nothing that I hadn't already coped with. But do you know what? I just didn't start to feel right. Didn't feel great. But I thought, no, I'd be fine. I've always done this. Everybody else has said, whatever happens to you, you always get knocked down and you get back up again.
There's a song about that.
There is. And I was always known as so resilient in everything I did. That was my trademark when I joined at 18 all the way up to 40. Absolutely fine. And then the more I tried, the worse I felt. I couldn't even tell you why. It wasn't even a headache. It wasn't fatigue. It was something I'd never experienced before. And then all of a sudden, I was walking into boardrooms at the crisis and thinking, I can't even remember my own name. I was struggling with presentations.
So brain fog.
Yeah, brain fog. And then as I was hitting them, I was getting hotter. It was just literally a car crash waiting to happen. And there was one particular meeting that was just one too much. got home, pretty much cried on the way home on the plane from Edinburgh. And somebody said to me, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know, but I just want it to stop.
That must have been terrifying.
It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, my strength that was my superpower just had gone. And actually, that was half of my problem because I just didn't stop. And then from there, I got a sort of diagnosis to say, actually, it's menopause. But do you know what? If we give you some sort of antidepressant, it'll be okay. And should you consider a less stressful job? And I was like, I looked at him, I said, pardon?
So it was a man?
Why would I do that? He said, well, it's menopause. I said, and what the hell is that? What is it? This was 12 years
why
ago.
Why would you give antidepressants?
Again, to help with the anxiety. I said, it's not anxiety. I can't even explain it. So he said, well, consider taking some time off and then reconsider your career. I just done an MBA. I said, no, I don't think so. And I just made the ballroom. I just made it into the ballroom when basically my legs were taken underneath me. So I took initially three months off and then found the diagnosis was menopause and worked out actually what it actually meant because there was so little information compared to now where there's too much. Mm. And then I was talking to other women like, oh, I wouldn't say that. I'd rather say I had depression. I said, really? You know, and it was like all of a sudden. So there was this whole sort of stigma around it. And then there wasn't much help for women. And then I looked at the data. So this was a staggering bit, was 52% of women were taking considerable amounts of time off and still are. And 32% of women leave the boardroom or their jobs and sell their businesses. I came so close to being one of the 32%. And then once I started to understand what was going on with me, I could then work out how to find the solutions. I thought, no, I'm not. And worst of all, I didn't want another woman to go through what I did. So I did get back to work, but I didn't go back into finance. I actually went back into HR and spent then the rest of my career up until 2020, you know, developing policies, supporting women and helping outside. And that strength come back and it came from knowledge and just being open about sharing my story. And even today, and you would think 12 years on with all the information, all that knowledge, women say to me, thank you for speaking up. Mm. There's such an impact on us. It's just not about menopause. It's layered up with aging and how women are. Older women are deemed in society. Yeah. And then also the impact of menopause isn't just the woman, it's the whole family, it's the business base. So actually everybody is impacted by it. But we don't talk about it enough. Don't get me wrong, from 12 years ago now, it is so much better, huge amounts better. It's then become a marketing challenge and there's lots of information. So for me, my whole purpose is to keep women in business, which also then extends to the work I do with my charity, is that when women...
What is your charity?
Well, I'm working with the Wisdom Hospice, but my club also supports women going through cancer. Mm. The treatment itself will trigger menopause. Yeah. Okay?
Oh, the treatment is barbaric for cancer.
It's really tough. And if you're a businesswoman, you haven't got a HR team, or you don't get paid. We don't get paid. If I don't show up, we don't get paid. So women going through their treatment, we support those, and then the Wisdom Hospice support them as well. And that was triggered by in November 19 when I was going to step on stage for the first time as a bikini bodybuilder to prove that we aren't invisible. 2 days before that, my best friend died of breast cancer in 19. So I was reversed out of the process. And on the way back from a funeral, I thought, no, there's more to be done. So I literally walked away from a six-figure salary, my career, in January 20, still in a pub. And then what happened 6 weeks later? We went into lockdown. And I built my business from there. And the wonderful lady who is linked to Kent Space, where we are, Sue, supported me through Kelly, supported me. And we lost her.
From breast cancer, wasn't it?
Breast cancer. And one of my amazing group leaders, Helen, we lost her in January.
Right.
So I have three amazing ladies. And Helen, we'd already talked about Snowden and doing something challenge. And I had the pleasure of seeing Helen 2 weeks before, and she said to me, whatever you do, if I can't make it, take my daughter up. So me, my daughter, my amazing clients, we're climbing Snowden for charities.
We're going to give her a shout out when we get on top. Honestly, we will. We'll make so much noise.
Raise awareness for women in business, menopause, cancer, but also the charities that support it as well. You know, it's just a struggle.
I think
so that's what we said, and we all believe about being sort of stronger together.
I think one of the things, because I'm one of Adele's clients, never considered myself as a a businesswoman that needs rescuing, but actually I've been a professional person for all of my adult life, and it's exactly the same. As a doctor, you are expected to be highly functioning all the time.
Absolutely.
You can't even afford to. So it does, what she's saying completely resonates, that actually being sort of perimenopausal or menopausal is a natural physiological thing, but sometimes we behave as if it's not happening. And a lot of us then sort of walk into a brick wall one day, or if we're lucky and we are brave enough and we have people around us like Adele who can sort of coax us out of that shell, then we stand a chance to actually be able to navigate our careers without having to give it up. I think that's what Adele... That's so important, that you don't necessarily have to give everything up, but you just need to be aware of how what your body's doing and how it's impacting you, and then just work around it.
It's one of those rotten things about the way that the world is, isn't it, that there are perfectly natural things that happen to people that doesn't fit into the way that we organize things. I know it's a bit left field, but many years ago I worked for a very well-known investment bank at a senior level, and this was back in the 80s, so it was a long time ago, and one of the things that they were concerned about was how few exceptionally good female executives actually made it all the way to the very top. And I just did a study on why that is, and nearly all of it was either to do with health-related issues or childcare.
Absolutely.
So many talented women got to the point in their 30s where they went career or children or career, and they had to make a choice of one or the other. And you know,
and if you think about the health-related issues, were they really health-related issues? Were all of them? Were they all just physiological changes that were labelled, like in Adele's case,
to give antidepressants is just
something
crazy.
Else? Just from just not understanding what was going on, isn't it? But I just love that she's empowering. And in fact, I want to ask you a question, Adele. Do you find that women are embarrassed to say, "I am menopausal"? I've been throwing that word around at work recently, and it tends to cause different kinds of reactions.
It does. And again, I am a researcher by nature, so I often just drop it out and talk to women. And the conclusion I've come to over the last 3 years is the link is aging. And when you look at, so for instance, the second season of Just Like That with the wonderful Sex and the City women are coming back, it's on Instagram, and there's comments now about, oh, look how old they are. And then women say to me, if the likes of SJP, Sarah Jessica Parker, is getting that, how about me? So for me, if you take the process of menopause and have the conversation, that's great. But the context is society and aging for women, and will I get that boardroom? Will I get that job? Or you know how I'm deemed? That's the link.
There's also a lot of I don't know what you call it, but there's a lot of stigma attached to it based on stereotyping things. So when you say menopausal, blokes think, oh, she's going to have the screaming abdabs and shout at me and be irrational.
Absolutely.
But of course, menopause, like so many other things, affects women in vastly different ways. Some women sail through it without even noticing, and some people really suffer.
What my mum said, she's 93, she didn't know anything about it. She said, I didn't notice any difference.
And again, the deep work that the difference is if and so we come back to, so if I look at why I didn't and my mother and my grandmother went through menopause absolutely fine. I was the first generation, because I was as a junior banking assistant on a graduate program in the late 80s.
Yeah, but also different hormones now in the water and our food.
Because I'm again, so when we put the women we're under, it's stress. So we've got, if we look at stress, we look at hormones, we look at environment. Yeah. But my mother and my grandmother weren't under the pressure I was to get in the boardroom and have it all.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. I was the first generation to have the menopause in the boardroom. Mm. And that is then, but also we've got the ability to come forward. So there's lots of reasons the average age of the menopause is going from 55 and lower because of the environment, estrogens, but also because of the stressful environment at the moment.
Well, so young girls are starting their periods earlier too, you know, 10, absolutely. 11, which, you know, I was 15 when I started my periods. And it's much, much younger.
Exactly. And then when you look at the stress that young girls are on, when I went home, I didn't go home with a phone that was constantly on. Mm. So if you look at the pressure of stress and how it ripple effect and those are the challenges. And sometimes, you know, women, it's difficult to pull. When you're going through it, it's still like people say, why didn't you talk about it? I said, I couldn't even look in the mirror and talk to myself. I couldn't. And then, you know, so it's all of those. It's so complicated. But the more we talk about it and have that conversation, the better. But it is quite challenging.
I think you're right, Jules, about just general well-being and health behaviours compared to when, you know, our mums and grandmas
would have grown their own vegetables.
Very, very different, isn't it?
No ready meals.
And stress is not good to put in the mix in any case, isn't it? So it would actually amplify things. Mm. And the psychological expectation that you're supposed to be able to do something but you can't, then that just
really
bugs you down. Mm.
Women don't ask for help either.
I think we're the caregivers, aren't we?
Yeah.
We give the care.
We have to solve stuff.
Oh,
we're
fixers. Oh,
Sorry, Paul, you're looking
great.
Paul is looking like that. To write that.
Also, you
there
know.
There is male menopause, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, my ex hairdresser, who's not in Whitstable anymore, he started drinking soy milk and he got man boobs. And he went to his osteo and said, you know, my body shape has just changed. He said, what have you changed in your diet? And he was drinking soy. So, of course, the soy is in the estrogen. Mm. And, you know, me with thyroid, I avoid soy like the plague. For me, it would just be... So stuff that's in our water, you know, women are on the pill now. Mm. If you go back to 50s and 60s, you know, my mum and dad grew their own veg. They kept chickens. Very natural.
Yeah. And these women are doing all that and they're trying to run business and be in the boardroom. And and for me, it's that point of then when they do leave at 32%, they then have impact on their wealth. So pensions, etc. So the whole ripple effect for these women is why I step in and that's my niche because they struggle.
And I think that comes back to what I said earlier with what Jules is saying about previous generations. Sadly, in a lot of cases in our parents' generation, our grandparents' generation, women didn't really have careers in that way. So they didn't notice they were being impacted, if you see what I mean.
I think women in those days had life tougher in other ways.
Oh, so, of course, I'm not saying that's that's how you handle it. We stop women having jobs. I mean, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that the lifestyle that we have now has put a huge weight on women in terms of. Our systems aren't set up to handle things like that.
No,
you know, they're just not. And
it's literally a man's world. And that's where we get.
Yeah, we've talked a lot on this program. We last year we were sponsored by a law firm that specialised also in HR and wellness at work, and talking about mental health issues and stuff like that at work. The pace of modern life. And the constraints of modern life put all kinds of things on you. Yeah. You know, it's as Chinwe was saying about sleeping. You know, it's easy to say get 6 hours or 8 hours sleep, but if you're worried, you know, if you're worried about, you know, paying the bills, if you're worried about, you know, your job, if you're worried about your partner, if you're worried about your relationship,
if your children are ill, you can't go to work. Yeah. You know, being a woman I'm not saying that men don't help now, but generally it's the woman. I know when my kids were young, every time I went to a meeting, I get a call. One of them would be ill. I'm sorry, I've got to leave. Yeah. It's really, really tough.
I think, Adele, one of the things that I really... You remember when I called you first time to so that I can become a client was after you did a presentation at in Women in Business meeting. And I think one of the things that drew me to you was that you had done your research. For the first time, I'm listening from with my medical hat on and thinking, well, she knows what she's talking about. It's true. And I had actually got to a stage where I knew I couldn't do this on my own. What the heck? Let me just get help with this thing. Because I too wasn't feeling right. And it wasn't for anything else other than the fact that that I just knew I needed somebody. And then for the first time, I was listening to a woman who seemed to know what she was talking about. And that's really what drew us together, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, because, again, qualified menopause, PT and nutrition. But also I was able to pull my sort of system and processes together around it, because I was always fit and healthy. But what got me here wouldn't get me to where I was going. And that was the bit why I took my sabbatical to work it through and have the research. Because, you know, we want to know why. And if we know the why, and also when you get to the why like me, I finally said it's a process. I finally let it go and go, right. But more importantly is, and also the key thing I talk to women about is leadership versus management. So management is doing the dishwasher yourself while you're on that conference call and everyone's screaming at you. Leadership is pulling the family together in the morning, having a whiteboard and go do this, this and this. And if you do have your gap in the diary, don't walk away from the dishwasher. It may not be loaded perfect, but it's done. And so we, again, that leadership element of it. So it's really sort of helping that woman take that ownership. And for me, then it's that whole community of being stronger together. And because I then saw, the more I work with business women, the more I could see then the ripple. And I was impacted by three amazing women with breast cancer and more women. That's where the two worlds, sort of worlds, collided. And then I do like my challenge. So, yes, I did get back on the bodybuilding stage after lockdown. Last year in November, one amateur, got my pro card straight away, and I just come second in the British Championships.
Wow. Well done. Fantastic.
I drove all the way to Highwickham for that. Okay, so experience of the year. Okay, so, you know, I've seen Adele in photographs and things like that, but so I drove all the way to Highwickham, and there are these absolutely beautiful, because now I know her, I know what goes on behind the scene. Oh my god,
the training,
never
the
mind
protein,
the physical, but the mental. Is I was just so humbled, and I see all these women, and some of them, you know, from I don't know 20 somethings to 60 something. There was an 80 70 60,
I was 53 60, and then 67
67 year old looked stunning. And then Adele shows up on stage, I was screaming, I was like, stronger together. I did not know I was going to have that reaction until she stepped up there, because it was, the whole picture was, I just understood it, you know, in a completely different way. And what she's helped me validate in my mind is about how our bodies change as we get older, and that we shouldn't treat it like we did when we were 25. It's about taking care, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about taking care.
But is this a thing that's more cultural, like, so in Western, like, you know, US, England? So if you go to somewhere like India or Spain, where they revere elderly women, you know, the woman is the matriarch, she's the center of the family, and they're very much, you know, Italy as well, they love their mamas and their. So is this a problem with England and America?
Well, but it's what I said earlier, it's about a Western lifestyle that we have. You know, in previous generations, you had two or three generations of people in a family. You know, childbirth was granny was in charge of childbirth because she'd been through it.
And so childcare was there.
And a new mum that didn't understand what was happening to their baby, you know, mum or granny would go, "Ah, give it to me, I'll sort it out."
It's so cellular now, isn't it?
It's like my kids are all spread out. So my mum, who's 93, there's only me now. Whereas, you know, because my kids are all around. Whereas when they were younger, there was always someone to go and sit with nanny or go around for tea or whatever.
Culturally, it is very different. Because in Japan and China, it's the second spring. So again, but then again, I look at the food, the culture, and look at the whole, you know, the whole thing around it. So you're absolutely right. Well, but it's not just menopause. Then you look at things like anxiety and other illnesses. There's an absolute correlation. So menopause is one of a cluster of things. So yeah, absolutely. So cardio to get down to the body fat, I was spending 80 minutes a day. So again, I was on, you know, looking at these emerging trends, and you know, there's so much more data, not just about menopause, but the society and the Western
side. And I also think that working with a personal trainer like Adele, one of the things that I did say to you when we first met was that I'd done a bit of Pilates, you know, looking at stuff on telly, and I'd got an injury, didn't I?
And because she had no one with
you. Because
I
was didn't have anyone, and I was exercising like I was still 25, you know?
Yes.
So, and if you remember that conversation, I was like, I want to do this, I want to get stronger, but I don't want to get an injury.
Yeah.
And that is so important, that actually when you are perimenopausal, you need to take care, and you cannot... If you get somebody who can take you through it to a good extent. So we did a private client in it for about 3 or 4 months, and she got me really, really solid on my routines and everything. And
so
my
you
sleep
can do
got
it.
Better.
Yeah, of course.
I felt free.
Because you're endorphins.
So amazing. It feels so good. But yes, yeah, really important, isn't it, that we don't treat ourselves as if we're something.
And there are these weird triggers. The thing that I noticed with menopause was coffee. I love coffee. I love good coffee. And I noticed that every time I had coffee and did a show, I was getting butterflies, adrenal, you know? So I cut my coffee out. It made a huge difference. Now I'm able to have it a bit, but I always watch that, you know,
it's
not
to have
too much.
So other women like coffee aren't impacted.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because, you know, when you say you're pregnant and everyone tells you about childbirth.
Yeah, yeah.
You say you're menopausal. Well, in my menopause, oh my God, it's just the same. Yeah. And I go, actually, do you know what? Every woman is different.
Of course.
Because every lifestyle is different.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. How we train and our body, you know, because when I'd left and started my PT exams, I argued and they said, Adele, just pass the exam and then tell us about the bit that's different. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It is different. But it's still a very emerging subject because women just won't talk about it.
And I think the other thing, sorry, Paul.
No, you carry on.
So your favourite slogan, move, snooze.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I love
the
it.
Body
I've used it in my clinic, by the way, with some of my younger patients. Yeah,
it's food, move and snooze.
Yes.
As I say, you know, it's not about routine.
I love
don't let your body second guess when you're feeding, when you're going to move it, and when you're going to sleep it. And again, because when we think about the process we go through as women, our body's going through the same process as we did as teenagers. But as teenagers, we weren't running paediatric A&E or businesses or anything else in there.
Exactly.
And also, I do work with women that are younger. So they could have gone in there through other illnesses as well. So, you know, I work with women in their late 20s all the way through to my mum, who's older, through post. Because do you know what? No matter how you get there, whether it's cancer, illness or natural, you know, the stuff's the same. So I work with them. But again, that gives a different view of the women that we've got to. And so for me, it's just having that conversation. It's not an age thing. It's just, as we say, we're stronger together. And it's just encouraging women to share their stories because you just don't know, you could help somebody else.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
And this is a blokey type of question. And I'm not trying to make a point here or anything. I'm genuinely asking this because you hear the women talking about things like this, like things like HRT, you know, didn't mean a thing to me. I thought it was a can of milk. That's URT though, isn't it? Or something, or UHT.
Yeah,
something like that. But you hear about these kind of things, and it just struck me. I wonder if there are certain drugs or treatments or things that people are encouraged to take that maybe in the long run make it worse. What I mean by that is they kind of hold it off so that they can fulfill part of their career or something like that. And I don't know if that's true or not. It's just a thought that came into my head, really.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It is interesting that women are having children later.
Of course, because of the careers.
Because of the careers. Mm. And then actually, or some women who, again, interestingly can't still have IVF, and then go straight into menopause afterwards. So I have got women going through menopause and teenage girls, so and young children. So you're right, because someone said to me, you've got older women with children. I said, yeah, they chose them, or they've got married for a second time. So then they've got teenagers. There is there's nothing as normal. You're absolutely right, Paul. And people then to talk about treatments or supplements. And as I always say, I talk about layer one, which is get your food, move and your snooze right. Supplements are clues in the word. It's it's on top of. So again, it's just working through what those solutions are, and there isn't. I think the first thing is just accepting it, and also, like me, I had to share it with sort of my family as well. And there's no, you know, there's no normal woman or no stereotype. But you're right, the stereotypes doesn't help. But when you look at the women in my club, which is why we did the most amazing photo shoot yesterday at my bodybuilding gym, and because, you know what, we do not become invisible, and it's showing that we can have that confidence. But some of us in this process get knocked down before we get up again. But for me, it's having the right information and the most amazing support network, and I'm living proof, because I stepped on stage, you can come out the other side.
I think I think there's something to be said about the hormone replacement therapy, which is absolutely a game option. Absolutely 100%.
But I've had to pay for mine myself. I gave up with
But the thing is mainly being able to make that decision for yourself with all the information you need. So often a lot of women just go to the GP, this is what's happening, they give them hormone replacement.
But often the GP won't even do a blood test.
Are you ready for it? Are you, what is it going to do to your body? So a lot of choice, there's not a lot of choices, because people, a lot of women don't know that there are options out there.
I think the Mirena coil, coil saved me, which is a slight hormone. It's a very little hormone, but when you have flooding periods, you know, you can't go out.
No.
So the Mirena coil took me right through to, you know, from perimenopause to menopause. Yeah. And then I went to Marion Gluck Clinic, and that's been great, and it's bioidentical, but it's expensive. You've got to have money. So
I don't know what HRT does.
So,
hormone
replacement.
I know what it stands for, but I don't know what it does.
So, estrogen and progesterone fall as the woman goes through menopause. That triggers all of those symptoms and changes. And what HRD is, it puts it back. So, it goes through the skin, or there's different variations from it. And it's getting better. So, but you're absolutely right. GPs, it's a lottery. So I help women, coach them, script them, and I give them all the solutions, you know, to go in with them.
So would I be right in saying that if you were taking HRT and it was working, you're kind of delaying the onset of the menopause?
You're not delaying, no, so I'm supporting. So you help with the symptoms.
Right.
It will help with some of those. And so I look at the symptoms in two ways. There's the ones above the eye. I think about an iceberg. The ones at the top are your hot flushes, your mood swings, your night sweats. What people don't realise is, say, oh, I sailed through menopause and I'm fine. The gift that keeps on giving is bone density, muscle and brain. So Mother Nature gives you a hot flush as a favour. After arguing with her for 6 months, I realised. So, yeah, Paul, so what HRT will support women in that element as well.
I have no idea what I'm talking about here, but I'm just looking at it as a complete outsider that says I'm involved in a charity that does people with drink and drug addictions.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to wean people off drugs, that cold turkey is the only way. Yeah. You know, you can feed people with placebos and all kinds of stuff, but eventually you have to go cold turkey. And I'm just thinking, if there's, you know, if anything like this is kind of preventing cold turkey, for want of a better term of putting it, I know that's horrible, but do you see what I mean?
The women that just wear it forever.
Yeah.
Choices. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's about, again, it's about having those informed choices. So a lot of women will carry on.
Yeah.
Density is hugely important.
It is
isn't
a muscle, because, which is why I really drive through the whole strength training, etc. Because a lot of women will just do cardio or walking, and you can't run your way out of it. So it's about strength training as well.
Cool.
I think I can also attest to what happens when you get stronger. To your mental health and to your alertness and to your savviness and to your sassiness, you know, your posture is different. You're just sort of more tuned in. And yes, you may still get your fogs and things like that, but actually just having that body that is strong makes a huge difference.
And so, I think people underestimate the power of food, the power of good food.
Yeah,
for me, that's number one is what you eat.
And because resilience was my number one, then what I actually built in 6 months and delivered as a program to corporate and do now was the Menopause Resilience System, which is my book, which is what the whole program is around for all of those things, because there was nothing out there at the time, because you were just told to eat healthily, but it's different for women going through it. So that's what I did my 6 months and my second master's on.
Cool. Just for the last few minutes of talking to you, it's a fascinating story. I want to just have a quick think about the bodybuilding side of this as well. What inspired you to do that? how did you go about doing it?
Yep.
And how come you're so good at it?
Right. So I was a marathon runner, so I had my menopause quite early.
Right.
And I had a bit of a hamstring 3 weeks out from the London Marathon. That's probably about my fifth or sixth marathon. Went into the MRI and I come out. I said, great, okay, so what's the diagnosis? Because I'm going to run in 3 weeks. He said, Adele, you're never going to run again. And I said, why is that? As I burst into tears, he said, because I was a gymnast and a dancer, I had hypermobile joints. Not very good for a marathon runner, who is also 4 years menopausal. I had the pleasure and the pain of looking at my bone density. So I took 2 years out to have them repaired. I wasn't very big and I had to drag myself around. So I thought to myself, I'm not doing this. I can't sit still because I've never sit still. I started to lift weights and my sort of gymnastic-y body came back. And although the bottom half didn't, and then everyone said to me, you've got an amazing shape. And I thought to myself, I love marathon running because of the challenge, the science, the research. What could I do that replicates it? And guess what? Bodybuilding is not as glam as it looks. So that's what I did. And then I switched to building up my legs. And then somebody said to me, because of the dance and the gymnastics and just that determination, have a go. And I did. And that's how I did it.
Fantastic.
And then the reason why I've got so good at it, because to me, I approach the same as my business. It's a plan. It's the business. Strong.
You're obsessive. That's why you're so good at it. We know, don't we? We know. When she gets a bit between her teeth, she goes for it. Yeah, she makes it happen.
People said to me, you won't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I do a lot of work with the FSP. I do work with government. And do you know what? And a lot of people said to me, do you know what? You know, women may not identify with you. I took a risk because someone says to me, don't do it. I do it because I just, I can be a bit controversial. Mm. I did it and I've had more women come and support me than ever,
right,
where people thought I would get away from reality. I'm proving a point. I only live like that for 12 weeks and 6 weeks and then I go back. Mm. But what I'm proving is that bone, and it is that, you know, and do you know what? We're not invisible. And I did bring the sass at 53 but I didn't realise the feedback. Back was is that I was good at it, so right. I'm going back again.
It's fantastic.
It's just amazing.
We've had a tweet from Stephanie Young living in South Africa. She says, ooh, this discussion right now is so interesting. It's such an important conversation. And she used the Bee Bunker hashtag.
Cool.
And and also Lenham Farmers Market, so M Farmers Market on the Twitter, have said they'd like a shout out, please. Would love a shout out for Lenham Country Market this coming Sunday, the 14th of May, in Lenham, in Kent. Where is Lenham, Paul Andrews? Roughly.
Outside Maidstone.
Near Maidstone. Okay,
it's so on the A20 between Maidstone and Ashford.
I love a farmers market. Well, it's a bit far for me from Whitstable.
Yeah, it's at least 15 miles. Yeah. She doesn't get out a lot.
No, yeah. I don't. I'm menopausal. It's
Whitstable or Nigeria. Anything in between, not a clue. Not a clue. I want a bife beefer. Yeah. Yeah. Adele, thank you so much for that.
That's okay.
As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Keep on doing what you're doing. Good luck with your challenge. Yep. The same with Chinwe and her challenge. We're going to put both the links there because I'm sure you're competing with each other. How many thousands are you each going to raise?
End of June. So we're going to go up just after. So you've got the longest day on Wednesday and we're going up on the Saturday.
Yeah. And do you run or walk?
We're going to trek the middle. Well, it's not going to be easy, but it's not going to be hard.
I have to laugh. I saw the other day TripAdvisor, Mount Snowdon, some of the comments that people have put. My wife and I went up there, it's too high.
Well,
sorry about that. Okay, we'll cut the top off then, shall we? You know, and somebody put it's ever so steep. It's a bloody mountain. What do you expect?
Oh, I do love people.
Yeah, cool. Adele, thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure. We're almost at the end of the show. We got a few things that we need to cover. There's some government grants available. offering between £1,000 and £25,000. These grants will support improvements in livestock health and welfare. It'll enable farmers to bring new equipment onto their farm that has been shown to have a positive impact on health and welfare. The grant applications are open until Thursday the 15th of June, and you can apply. It's a government grant, so it's www.gov.uk/government-farming-equipment. So gov.uk/government-farming-equipment if you want to look at the details and apply for a grant of up to 25 grand.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you want me to read something?
We might as well do something.
Okay,
yeah.
No, I was looking
can't
at the
get a staff. You really can't.
My Twitter had gone bananas about my tweet about the 8 a.m. scramble. So Tunbridge Network, the third Thursdays, networking in Tunbridge. It's to be held at Mareworth Winery. How pleasant. On May the 18th. And please come wearing blue during Mental Health Awareness Week. West Kent Mind, one of the chosen charities for 2023, are asking everyone to dig out your favourite blue T-shirt, pull on your blue jeans, slip on some natty blue socks and join them in wearing blue. And the meeting is sponsored by Finwell, who offer financial wellbeing services through education, guidance, training and support. You can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. And as I said, it's on the May the 18th at Mareworth Winery. Or Mareworth.
Oh, where?
Mareworth.
Mareworth. She's a nightmare. She really is.
Mareworth.
It's Mareworth, isn't it?
I would spell it M-E-R-R-Y for that.
Where is it? Where is Mareworth?
Oh, don't ask me. Somewhere. Tunbridge.
Tunbridge Wells, yeah. Between Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells, yeah.
Somewhere posh.
Yeah.
Somewhere posh.
Almost. Bye-bye, baby. Bye-bye, baby, to open the Leeds Castle concert. Bye-bye, baby, a jaw-dropping tribute to the musical phenomenon, the Jersey Boys, sharing the timeless, iconic music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, are announced as the opening act for this year's Leeds Castle concert on the 8th of July. Since Jersey Boys appeared on Broadway and the West End, the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons is as popular as it was in their heyday in the 60s. Bye Bye Baby have prepared a show to remember with incredible four-part harmonies, roof-raising falsetto, complete with energetic and stylish choreography. All backed by the excellent four-piece band, their performance includes a selection of Valli's greatest hits, including Sherry, December 63, Oh What a Night, Grease, Can't Take My Eyes Off You, Begging, Working My Way Back to You, and many, many more. So join us at the Leeds Castle concert with headline sponsors Brochures on Saturday, the 8th of July, for a truly memorable summer's evening of world-class entertainment. You can book your tickets at leedcastleconcert.co.uk.
Sherry Baby. I do love a sherry. I think you, it's 14:59. Do you need to whip back to your desk?
I do, yeah.
Go on, off you go. Go
Thank
and,
you.
Go and wind down the show. You've been listening to the lovely Paul Andrews at Vanilla Web on the Twitter. Tweet us at any time, BBunker hashtag. We've had Chinwe Ude, who's our paediatric consultant. Follow them on, you can find them on Young Epilepsy UK Support. And your other website was?
It's Kent Kids Neurology.
Thank you. And the lovely Adele Martin at coach_executive.
The Business Bunker.